It is a joy and a privilege to be here beyond compare. Here's where I started my ministry years ago, as my wife said, as a greenhorn right out of Bible school, never preached anywhere, and was going to be a youth pastor my whole life. And when you asked me to come back and be your pastor, I said, get this guy here. He's a keeper. And I thank you for him and his ability and his wife to come here and do what I could not do. I know you wanted me to come back and be your pastor after I left. And I wanted to, but the Lord said no. And I know the clear call of God. And my wife and I go, you can't go back there. You were their associate, and they'll always see you as a fun-loving associate youth leader. They won't see you as senior pastor. They just can't. You can't change. And I go, you're right. I'm probably right. So God called us other places, and it's been a joy, a ministry, a wonderful ride. But I thank you and your wife for being here and honoring the Lord. And your father-in-law, Ron Moss, I worked with him. I knew he could be here. I could not. I knew that. And I kept telling your board, no, I cannot come back. I know some of you build me up better, bigger than life. And I never got any taller, but I could not come back. I could not be your pastor. But I am so thrilled for your 75th to see what God's done and what you have allowed God to do. And a lot of people that are not here now supported Gigi and I above and beyond many times. We were young. We were greenhorns. We made mistakes. And you loved us anyway. And I said, now that's a church. That's a church. She supported us, loved us, and helped us to grow. And then when God called us away, you left us go. But you thought I'd be back again someday. Well, I'm here today. Gone tomorrow. I'm a tumbleweed. Whatever. But I am so glad that this church has continued on through all the stuff that you've been through, the building programs and all that, which sometimes destroys a church and causes splits. Oh, I thank God for being able to be here and see this many old faces and new faces. And some of you have new faces. I don't even recognize you. I say, who are you? But I do know you. And to quote Reverend Peck, someone says, Pastor Fred, with your beard, you look like you're a doctor now. And to quote Reverend Peck, I say, yeah, I cured a ham one time. And now I'm a doctor. Because I grew up on a farm too, and we did. So that's part of the fun thing. I want to begin with a cheer, and I want you to stand together and repeat after me. God is exalted.
God is exalted.
The devil's defeated.
The devil's defeated.
And Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Now it gets a little more radical. God is exalted.
The devil's
defeated.
And
Jesus is Lord.
God is exalted.
The devil's defeated.
And
Jesus is my Lord.
Yahoo!
Yeah. Come on! You may be seated. God inhabits the praise of his people. You know why he does? Because of who he is. And who is he? Well, Adam and Eve in the Old Testament knew who he was. He was our creator. They didn't have to ask, who are you? They knew who he was. But later on in Genesis, Moses goes, who are you? And he goes, I am. I am that I am. And he goes, what kind of answer is that? I am what I am. I mean, we all are who we are, but how will I convince Pharaoh that you are who you are? Because that's not so really threatening in this world, an answer that they're going to say, oh my, that's the one. Forget, we don't have a chance. Well, they really didn't if they'd have knew who he was. I am that I am. You just tell him that I am has sent you. And he'll have to let you go. But it won't be right away. He'll catch on that I am after I do what I do. And that's what I do through you. And he goes, I need some more proof. I need some more proof. And then like us, we know who God is. We've heard who he was. We heard at Sunday school. We've heard the stories. We heard the miracles. We know all the stuff. But really, who is he on a personal level to you? Do you really understand who he is when he says, I am that I am? In the book of Revelations in chapter... There, I let my bulletin down. I don't even have where I'm supposed to read from. Anyway, I think it's Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty God. I am that I am, Almighty God. That really says everything when you look through the Bible from I am that I am who I am, so you can be who you are, is really the lesson that God has for us here. He is who he is, so he could join with us, so we could be who we really are, or his intent for us to become. God says, I am great, so really, you can be great. And that is a great mystery. Gods don't make their servants equal to them. The gods of the heathen want to be the gods, and they want the people to be average or below average so they can lord over them. The great I am says, I am who I am, so you can be who you can really be. You can be great if you know who I am, and I am with you. And he reminds us in the scriptures, the declarations of Jesus, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. I am who I am, so you can know the way. So you can know the truth and that you can have the life and eternal life. In John 6:35, he goes, I am the bread of life. I just realized this the other day when I was preaching. He said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Did you know, and I don't know if you know this or if I tell you this and you disagree with me, keep it to yourself. But when Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven that came down, and when we take Holy Communion, it's unleavened bread, I think the bread in the wilderness, and I made this up, and no other scholar has challenged me on it because they go, that's something to think about, that the bread that came down from heaven was unleavened bread. The Israelites ate unleavened bread for 40 years in the wilderness. Now, you can't prove them wrong. I can't prove them right. But if he is the bread of life, and he is the bread that came down from heaven, it was unleavened bread. Think about it. Just for a little bit. Think about it. I've never heard that before. I never heard anybody else say it. But it dawned on me when we were having Holy Communion last week. Ah! The children ate unleavened bread in the wilderness. Don't look it up. Don't Google it. I don't think it's there. And I didn't make this up. I just felt like it almost had to be for them to have Holy Communion with a holy God, with the fire and with the cloud. They had to eat unleavened bread every day. What do you think about that? Yeah, I know. No one answers me. And I say, good. Be ye silent. I am the light of the world. In John 8:12, I am the gate for the sheepfold. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. Yes, you've sinned. You're born in sin, and you're prone to sin, and prone to wander. But he laid on him the iniquity of us all. So no one can say, I've never sinned. I've been good. I don't need a Savior. He is the good shepherd. In John 10:11. In John 14:6, he goes, I am your best friend, the best friend you will ever have. I stick closer than a brother. And you know what? John 14:28, he goes, I am going away and I am coming back. I'm the beginning, I'm in the end. I've begun a good work in you. I want to take it to completion. And I see what God's done in my life. When I was here 31 years ago, I didn't preach. Pastor Wes asked me to preach. I goes, no, I can't. I don't know how. And he goes, well, you've been to Bible school. You have hermeneutics. You had homiletics. I said, none of that made sense to me. I'm a youth pastor. I like to have fun. I can have fun with a string. That's not a real high theological accomplishment. And I can have fun with kids, and I can have fun doing stupid stuff. Let me tell you a joke. There was this snail riding on the back of a moving turtle. And do you know what the snail said? He thought it was a roller coaster. Now, the funny part about that is, snails don't have a mouth. They don't have legs. They don't have arms. But you all pictured that snail, didn't you? Okay, see, you know how to have fun. You know how to have fun. I told that joke at a funeral. A month ago, a guy 93 years old, he died, and they asked me to do his funeral. And he hadn't been in church in 5 years because he was in a nursing home and then had, you know, other problems. He could not be there. And they said, would you come do his funeral? I says, yeah, what do you want me to do? I don't hardly know the guy because he hasn't been here a while. And it was like he was really old when I first met him. So we never went fishing together. We never hunted together. We never did anything together. I goes, what should I do? And they go, he says you're the jokester pastor, and he loves you. He wants you to do his funeral. I go, okay. So I started with that joke. There was 107 people there, and they were like, then they all busted out laughing. And I go, you know what the moral to the story is? That's what he said when he stepped on the streets of glory. He loved the Lord. He prayed for you. He prayed for his children. He prayed for his grandchildren. And his great-great-great-grandchildren were there. He prayed for them that they would find the Lord. Every time the altar was open, I said, he's going, whee! Streets of gold! They are faster than what I thought. Can you imagine the great I am and what he has planned for you and for me and for us? Because I am, you can be. I'm going away. He goes, I am the vine. You are the branches. You're going to bear fruit for me. I'm going to put you on an equal level with me. You are going to be my ministers. You are going to be my priest. Because I am, you are, and you can be. Would you believe that he is? Then you can accept all that he is. And know the glory, the presence, and the power. You can do ministry. And ministry will happen just because you are who you are. You don't have to be him. You don't have to be me. You be you. And let him be him. And then he will do miracles in your life. Praise his holy name. All these years in ministry, I never wanted to preach. My dad's a preacher. My grandfather's a preacher. My uncle's a preacher. My cousin's a preacher. My nephew's. I think they want to preach. My daughter, you see, she can preach. And I never wanted to be a preacher. I told God, I'll go to Africa. I'll eat monkey meat. I'll live in a mud hut. I do not want to preach. I'll go as a missionary. I'll fix stuff. I like to fix stuff. I like to have fun with the kids. And I says, I can show them God in that way. But I don't want to preach. I don't want to stand behind the sacred desk and have that responsibility. And I said, Lord, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I graduated from a small Bible school over in Pennsylvania. And they said, you have to preach a sermon before you graduate. Well, in 6-7 minutes, I told them everything I knew. It was just a theological discourse. I just went through the verses. Here's what God said. Here's what God said. Here's what we're supposed to do. Here's the answer now. That's all I know. And they said, well, you're not called to preach. But they gave me a license because they saw ministry opportunities in my life, gifts, graces, and usefulness that other people didn't have. I was at district assembly or family camp in district assembly 2 weeks ago, and the general says, "I'm coming to your devotions that you do on the morning." And it was one day of the week I did on Wednesday. And I says, "Well, you have not come to any of the other pastors' devotions every week." And he goes, "I'm coming to yours." I go, "Why?" He goes, "I hear you're different." The general work, he was there. And I go, when I'm done, I was shaking like a leaf. And he goes, "How do you stay so calm, cool, and collected?" And I says, "I'm a mess. This is my normal life. You know, I don't know how to be any different. I'm just being me and let him be him." And then the miracle happened. The general said, "Thanks. You really encouraged me today." I went like, "Yeah. Booyah. Got him." He travels around the world and preaches. He's over district superintendents, if you don't know how the thing works. And a little boy from a farm in Pennsylvania that just knows how to fish and how to hunt and how to have fun. I could minister to the general. I said, "Dear God, you are so good. You are so good. What a privilege. What a joy." And that's what I feel, to be here today and to pour out my heart to you and say, give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. There's no regrets. You won't be able to figure it out. You won't even know when he's working, but you'll know the deep, settled peace of God that passes all understanding, because he's, "I am the peace of God." He says, "I am the satisfaction that you really need." He is. So I can have it. So I can be. So I can move on and face variables and some near-death experiences in my life. And yeah, God didn't keep me from those. He didn't keep me from those. Someone said, "You've died 5 times, Pastor Fred." I go, "Yeah, I'm stupid. I upset my canoe in frozen water. Yeah. I ran a cutoff saw and almost cut my arm clear off." He goes, "Like, and you lived through it?" "Yeah, I wrecked a tractor and I was dead. And, you know, I don't know how God got me out of that one." How many times in my life has God been real to me when I didn't do as smart as what I thought I would like to do or thought I was doing? He covered for me. On the way here, a tractor trailer almost ran me off the road. I was over on the inside track. I do go 5 miles over the speed limit. I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. I do go 5 over. But I'm going 5 over and it's on cruise, you know, so I'm good. But this tractor trailer, I got right up, right by in the middle of him, and then he just come across the line, and I had one wheel on that. The other wheel was down in the grass on the burn. I'm like, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to Mifflinburg one way or another." God got me out of that one. I just like, I'm still like saying, Alex was sleeping. He woke up. I don't know what Gigi and Rita were doing in the back seat, but I was busy here. I was just hanging on, saying, "Oh, Lord, the devil doesn't want me to go, does he? I know. I'm on a mission. I have a message. And I'm glad you're here this morning to hear who he is. He's the great I am. And he's more. He's everything to me. A friend that sticketh better, closer than a brother." Listen to this. I found this gospel tract, and it said that God is my light. God is my healer. Do you need healing? Oh, some deep healing. God says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is the Lord of hosts." Do you know how many people he's got with him? Well, they're not people, they're angels, but Lord of hosts. They cannot be numbered. He is the Holy One. He is the light of nations. He's a jealous God. Oh yeah, that quality's there, and it's a good quality. God to be jealous for you and want to protect you when Satan would want to run you off the road. God has plans for you. He said, "I have plans to bless you and to keep you. I'll restore to you what the cankerworms have sinned and some of our bad decisions have destroyed." Yeah, I still have the big bad mark and scar in my arm, but the Lord healed me. The doctor said I would never be able, my arm would just hang there. A week later, somebody prayed for me, laid hands on me that the Lord would heal me. And I go, well, good luck. Doctor says, there's nothing he can do. My arm was cut clear to the bone. My bicep still is 50-50, one down here and one up here. But that's okay. I can still fish. I can still hunt. I can still use it. I can still say praise the Lord. The doctor said I would never use it again. And that was just 5 years ago that happened with that cutoff saw blade exploded. And whack. I went like, oh boy, this really hurt. Gigi, get me to the hospital. And the Lord brought me out of that a week later. Doctor goes, how can you do that? I said, Jesus had a plan for me. Satan slowed me down a little bit. But I'm still going full tilt for the Lord. And I got the boo-boo that it works. I'm telling you, that's real. And the doctor said, there's nothing I can do for you, buddy. Nothing I can do. It'll hang. If I fix it so, it'll tie all back together. It'll still hang. He says, I'll schedule you for surgery tomorrow. Next day I went in. He looked at it. He going like, does your arm hurt? I go, nope. He goes, your fingers are like sausages. And they were. Don't eat them. My arm was all purple and green, clear down, clear up. And he goes like, can you even wiggle your fingers? I goes, yep. He's going like, that's amazing. Can you pick your arm up? I went, yeah. He's going like, 2 days ago, you were in a sling in so much pain, you couldn't even move your arm. What happened? I goes, I am glad you asked. If you ever heard of the great I am, he's greater than you think. He touched me. Warmth came to my arm the very same second. And the guy that laid hands on me and prayed for me goes, I don't know who you are. I've never seen you before. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I go, oh, yeah. I was at a different church. And he says, I want to pray for you that God heals you. And I go ahead. Laid his hand. Dear Lord, here's one of your servants. He loves you. And I know you want to heal him. Would you touch him right now? Amen. That's all it was. No anointing of oil. No calling on the elders. No doing all the stuff that we always do. He said, okay. What do you have to say? I said, the doctor's going to be really surprised tomorrow. The pain was gone. There was a warmth. There was a tingling. I was healed instantly. Did I ask for that? No. I said, Lord, if you want me with one arm to preach for you, it'll slow me down a little. But you know what? I am willing. And then that guy knew God and knew God wanted to touch me and said, okay, how about we do that tonight? And I go, I'm a believer. If God wants to do it, he can do it. And I went to the doctor the next day. He's supposed to do surgery. He looked at me and he goes like, secretary, get in here. Look at this. And she looked at my arm and she goes, oh, you poor man. I feel so sorry for you. And I goes, why? She goes, does it hurt? And I go, no. Can you use it? Yeah. She's going like, how do you explain that? Here's another opportunity. I said, Jesus, touch me yesterday. And I'm here today to prove to the doctor, to prove to you that God still wants to do miracles for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to guide us. Even though we're stupid and we do dumb stuff, he still covers for us. And he lets us continue on with the scars to prove to me, Fred, you're not as smart as you thought you were. But it still works. And the secretary said, I used to go to church when I was a little girl. I went to Bible school and I haven't gone in years. But she goes, today I'm a believer. That's what she said. And I go, well, thank you, Lord. There's two today. I'm starting my ministry saying God can heal you even if you don't ask. Because he knows your needs. He knows your thoughts of your heart and your intent. You want to serve the Lord with everything you've got left, and he's going to make it possible. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the light of the nation. I am a jealous God. You are my fortress. You are my deliverer. You make me holy. You impute to me your righteousness. My righteousness. Righteousness is as filthy rags. The best I can do, the best prayers I can pray, the best scriptures I can read, how long I prayed, how many people I witnessed to the Lord is all sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal compared to He imputes His righteousness to because He is, I can be. I'm going to close with this scripture, and y'all ought to be glad. It's over in John 14. John 14, chapter 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall you be able to do, because I go to my Father. I'm at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. And you can do greater things than what I did, because I am, you are, and you can be. You can do this. Whatever he asks you to do, we're supposed to emulate Christ. That scares me to death. I'm supposed to be able to preach greater messages than what he preached. I didn't think so. I don't think I really, really understand it or grasp it, but he says, you emulate me and greater things than what I've done. I'm supposed to be able to do greater things than he did. And you know how many miracles he did? I haven't tried to raise any dead lately. I just don't think I'm there yet. But he said, because I am, you are who you are, you can be who I am through my power in you. That, he's talking to the church. Billy Graham speak to more people than Jesus did, didn't he? All right, okay. Greater things than what Jesus did, Billy Graham was able to do. But what about this other stuff? He said, if you believe on me and the works that I do, you'll be able to do also. And greater works than these shall you be able to do, because I go to my Father. I'm interceding for you. I know your strength. I know your weaknesses, he says. But I also know my power in and through you will make a difference. I wrote this poem. I can do anything God calls me to. I can do anything that God can do. If his power is working in me, it's not myself. For you see, I'm supercharged by He. Then the words of that song. We've got the power. In the name of Jesus. We've got the power. In the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages. And he does. We will not be defeated. We've got the power. In the name of the Lord. I am who I am because he is who he is and what he can do through me. I can do great things. He's talking to the church, you. You can do great things. Ask the Lord for an opportunity. Ask the Lord for a divine appointment. Ask the Lord if you could speak to someone that no one else could ever speak to and give you opportunities to share your testimony. Because if you do, God said, I will use it. I will bless it. I'll plant seeds. And as a result, you can be great. If you know who I am, the great I am. I am who I am. So you can be who you are. So that he can get the glory and miracles will happen. I didn't ask for this. I just said, Lord, help me to do what I can do. Help me to make a difference in somebody's life. Somewhere. That's been our life goal in our ministry. Say, Lord, we can't do this. I don't even want to do this, Lord. I'm scared to do it. He goes, that's normal. Moses said the same thing. Jonah ran away. Hello, you people are all alike. You're all like sheep. You can't see very far. You don't listen very well. And you forget. You're stupid. Sheep are the stupidest. There are no circus tricks where there are sheep. And Jesus says, you all like sheep. He must have been from down south. You all like sheep. Yeah. We need him every day. I don't know what I'm preaching on tonight, but I think I poured out everything I know. But I tell you, it's all true, and it's wonderful, it's real. And I know every church needs healing. Every family situation needs healing, because things don't turn out the way we plan, and other people disappoint us, and we disappoint them, and sometimes we all blame each other. Dear God, be who you are, the great I am, the beginning and the end, from Genesis to Revelations. He said who he was, so we can be who we are, and we can do great things. Praise his holy name.